Our reading today is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20, and it's under the title, Being Imitators of God. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
I do love baptisms. One of the things that I don't know if you've ever seen a Greek Orthodox baptism. If you haven't, go and YouTube it. Oliver's dad obviously made a joke, but literally seven times they dunk them. So top and bottom, seven times. It's hilarious. A little bit scary at the same time. Shaken baby syndrome comes to mind a little bit. John's kind of throwing me this morning because he stole my first question. So you've already. But this is what I'm thankful for this week. Hopefully he comes up. There we are. This is my son Tobias. So my name's Peter. I don't think I've introduced myself yet. Sorry. Straight into things and forget about things. So I'm Peter. Myself and my wife Beth have been coming to the church for around about a year now. On and off due to COVID and different things, and obviously as things have lifted, we've been traveling and stuff, so it's not necessarily been regular, so it doesn't feel like a year, but I am assured it has been a year that we've been attending now. As you'll probably notice from my accent, I'm not originally from Salisbury. I have a mongrel accent, so my parents are church leaders, and so I lived in the northeast for quite a long time. And so I call it a watered-down Geordie, with a little bit of smoggy in there just to top it off. But my wife's originally, she's born and bred from Salisbury, proper posh girl. I definitely married up. Beth reminds me on every occasion about my grammatical errors. So please don't hold it against me if I make any grammatical errors or I say any words that don't exist apparently in the English language, such as tret, which for me is the past tense of to treat. So tret, I'm assured, is not an actual word, but to me it is. So, but this is our son. So my wife, she's walking around with a huge belly, and that's because she's due in November. So we're due our second in November, but this is our first, our wonderful three-year-old boy, who I think is still sat at the back. For some reason, he obviously didn't want to go out to creche or something, I don't know. Glutton for punishment, I'm assuring. But this is what I'm grateful for this week. So I took time off work this week, because my wife said to me, before the baby comes, I want to spend a week, just the three of us, enjoying some time as a family, before we then become the four of us. So I took the time off work, and then she fell ill. She fell ill with COVID. We're all okay. She's tested, promise you, she's fine. You can talk to her at the end, and she'll tell you all the things that I did wrong today. So she fell ill, and we live with my in-laws at the moment in time, and they were both ill with COVID. And so myself and Tobias, the only ones who were well, had to isolate. So we isolated in Tobias's bedroom. So my wife got the king-size bed, because as a loving husband who knocked up his wife, I thought it was only right that I give her the bed. My mother-in-law had the super king-size bed all to herself, and my father-in-law had another double bed in the spare room. And so I ended up in Tobias's bedroom. He has a trundle bed, so I ended up on the trundle bed. But Tobias wasn't grateful enough that I came to sleep in his room. He had to come and sleep in my bed. So there was two single beds, but no, both of us had to share the single bed together. So Tobias and I spent 24/7 together for the last week, and it's been an absolute joy. Hopefully it comes up. There we are. There is a picture in there from the week before. It was his birthday, so that's why my wife appears in the picture. She didn't break quarantine or anything like that. But these are some of the things that we did. We went to Victoria Park, which is wonderful, except from it's cold and when it's raining and when it's wet. Tobias loves Conkers, horse chestnuts. And at the moment in time, there's a particular corner with the roundabout. And I came back from the park literally full to the brim with Conkers. And I had to convince him that other children wanted the Conkers. So he had to leave them there to be kind to other people. We went to the Air Museum and we had a wonderful time. All these amazing aeroplanes, and we spent the time in the tiny little jump around play area that they've got in the middle. Forget about the planes, just the play area. We started by going, I don't know if anybody went to the fire station a couple of last weekend. We went, and it was absolutely amazing. Tobias got to shoot a fire hose and stuff, and absolutely loved it. And we had lots and lots of cake. Lots and lots and lots and lots of cake and coffee for Daddy, because that's what you do. And so I've had an amazing week. Despite being 24/7 stuck with a toddler, he has just been a real joy to me, a real blessing. Now, I don't know about you, but I always think that we sometimes dull down and simplify down what it means to worship. And for me, what I've just done there is worship. That is the worship of my son, Tobias. He is, and I'm telling you now, there is nobody better in the entire world than Tobias. You cannot convince me of anything else. I'm sure Oliver is a lovely little boy, but Tobias is the best. He is amazing, and he knows it. He knows it truly. If you ask him his name, he will tell you his name, and this is word for word, he'll say, "My name is Tobias J, and I'm beautiful." That is how much he is a wonderful, amazing little boy, and he just knows it. It just beams from him. That, for me, is my worship of Tobias. Now, I'm not being idolatrous. I'm not holding Tobias above God. But actually, worship is about bringing glory and honor. It's about bringing praise. And actually, what I've just done there is I've just brought praise to a wonderful little boy who brings me great joy and great blessing. That is worship. And so actually, as a body of Christ, when we dumb it down and we simplify it down to saying, oh, let's just have a time of worship and we sing a couple of songs. I'm not saying that singing songs is not worship, but it's not the totality of our worship. This, I don't know if you can see some of these pictures. They're very, very small. But these are just some pictures of people doing acts of service. You know, we've got our food bank food here. And actually, serving the hungry, serving the poor is an act of worship because it brings glory, it brings honor, it brings praise to God. Just sitting and having a conversation. Did you know you could worship by having a coffee with somebody? That was the most amazing revelation of my entire world when I realized that having coffee with somebody was an act of worship. When I worked with churches, I always made sure that they gave me a coffee budget to make sure that I did my worship fully and properly and truly. And John, if you haven't got a coffee budget, you need one. It's a wonderful act of worship to just go and spend time with people. Oh, the treasurer is shaking his head there. It is just such a blessing just to spend time with people. Whenever we spend time with fellowship and sharing about what God has done in our lives, that right there is worship. Serving the hungry, serving the poor, serving the needy, serving your neighbor, spending time with your family, that is all an act of worship. Now, I'm going to get a little bit technical here because I love this passage. I might have gone too far, but we'll see if it goes. So, Ephesians 5. Again, I don't know what we do about these slides. I should have prepared better. But basically, Ephesians 5 is a wonderful piece of scripture. And It has literary elements to it, which really just, if you understand them in their true context, really just make this passage just really come to life and stand out. And so I'm going to go into some of those things. I'm not doing a Bible lecture, just understanding some of the concepts behind it. And so it starts with, pay careful attention then how you walk. So basically, Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, and he's saying to them, look, this is how you've got to live. He's gone through a whole element about light and darkness and being people of light, how God's light transforms our lives. And then he's gone practical, and he's saying to us, look, here's how you live life. This is what it means to be a follower of Christ. Here are some of the things you need to know. And he uses some wonderful, you'll notice the pairs that start to stand out. And so he talks about not being unwise, but being wise. Now that's quite an obvious pair to see. So we've got, don't be an idiot, basically Paul's saying. Don't be an idiot, be wise. You know, it's quite simple, you know. Then he goes on to say, don't be foolish, but instead understand what is the Lord's will. So there's a pair in there as well. So what we have is if you're foolish, you're not living in what God's will for your life is. So live in the will of God, and then you'll not be foolish. So those two go together as well. Nice and easy. And then he goes on to this nice little one, which I know for all of my ale-loving friends in the room will really upset them, is don't get drunk on wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, that seems a bit odd. You know, why does Paul get so down on wine? Now, I have to confess, I'm teetotal. So I'm not advocating that you have to be teetotal. I don't think that's what this passage is saying. I'm teetotal for a whole bunch of different reasons. But actually, these two things here are a juxtaposition. Don't get drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And so what's Paul saying here? I think the important thing here is the second bit where he says, which leads to reckless actions. Now, I grew up playing rugby. And anybody who knows the rugby culture knows that it's full of great men and women who are idiots, who basically run around the field, bumping heads, hurting each other, stamping on each other, twisting their arms, piling on each other. And then afterwards, you go to the, if you haven't killed enough brain cells, you go to the pub afterwards and you kill some more. During university, I played rugby an awful lot. I've been teetotal my whole life, for a number of reasons. But it was really difficult being teetotal at university, because the culture is that you just go out, and after the game, you'd have a great big slosh up. Everybody would be absolutely trashed, and it would get crazy. Now, I managed to maintain my teetotalness throughout and got a lot of respect from the guys. They gave me the nickname of the vicar, and they definitely made me pay for it. After 15 shots of Ribena on a night out, your throat is sore. But it was a great witness, because I'm the only person, Sheffield University Rugby Club, I'm the only person to ever have the title of team chaplain. And they gave it to me as a joke, but actually, I took it seriously. And it was a great privilege when everybody was doing silly things to actually sit with people and hear some of their pain, some of their issues, some of their heartache, and to be able to share with them as they were struggling through times at university, whether that be things at university or things at home. And God really showed me, he really blessed me in that season. I'm saying that basically, it's not bad to have a drink every now and again. So please don't think that I'm saying everybody has to be teetotal, because I'm so wonderful, everybody should emanate and idolize what I do. In one sense, you should probably do the opposite of what I do in a lot of cases. But actually, I think what the Bible is saying here is actually there's a juxtaposition here. You can either spend your life trying to find happiness and joy in the bottom of a bottle. Some of my friends from rugby would come to me the day after and say, I really admire you. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't have fun without alcohol. How sad is that they couldn't have fun without alcohol? that they had to find their joy, their thanksgiving, in the bottom of a bottle. And actually, God's joy, God's thanksgiving comes as we raise up. But this is then what we go on to find out, is actually there's another three verses. And so being filled with the Spirit, we then get these next three verses, which are a chiasm. And this is a special literary technique used in biblical literature and other literature, which basically there are sets of pairs, and the things on the outside match, and then the things on the middle match. So this is four bits, and so there's 4 points in the next three verses, and so it goes A, B, B, A. So the two bits on the outside match, and then the two bits on the middle. I'll show you. So, verse 19, we say, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then we go on to verse 21, which Everton didn't read, because in some Bibles it's in a different section, so we often miss it out. But section 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. So we have these pairs, and the pair in there is about each other. It's about us as a family, as a body of believers. It's about us. And so what we have here is being filled with the Spirit leads to speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then it also leads to us submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, there is a technical difference in the Greek between psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but I'll not bore you with that. It's enough to say that basically it doesn't matter what format of worship you choose. It doesn't matter how you choose to worship God. Actually, it should all be in community. And this word here that's translated as speaking is actually the word used of animals to make a noise. It's just to utter a noise. So it doesn't matter if you're in tune or not. How wonderful is that? You can sound like a cow singing your songs, and actually, that right there is a worship of God. Isn't that definitely a blessing to me? I can tell you that now. So what we have here is when we meet together, when we spend time together in worship, when we utter noises of joy, of psalms, of hymns, of spiritual songs, whatever those noises are, as we proclaim to each other, we do it is as a response of the Spirit. And whenever we submit to each other, we do it as a response to the Spirit. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get sick and tired of just staring at the front as we sing. Because actually, there are some powerful, powerful, powerful words in the songs that we sing. And yes, some of them are our glory, and we're singing just to God. And so you might want to close your eyes. You might want to picture you're actually singing to God. But next time, listen to some of the words. Actually, some of them are about us singing to each other. It's about a declaration that we are making to our brothers and sisters in Christ to say, this is what it means. This is the transformation. And so actually, as we utter, as we declare things, whether that be in singing, whether that be in word, whether that be in action, we are declaring truth and we're worshiping. So spending time together, having a coffee, declaring truth into people's lives is an act of worship. And it links to this other point about submitting to one another. Notice it's mutual submission. It's not about a hierarchy. Now, there are a whole bunch of things about church structures and legal parameters in which different bodies have to choose different things and different people have to make different decisions and stuff. I'm not talking about the structure of church. I'm talking about the spiritualness of church. It's actually we are to submit to one another. It is one of the greatest tools that is most underused in the church is accountability. We look at ourselves and we say to ourselves, oh, they're fine. They'll not understand what I'm going through. They can't possibly understand. Or actually, if I tell them what's going on here, they're going to judge me. Or even worse, they do judge you. You know, there is this idea that actually we have to have this privacy, that actually whenever we're coming before God, it has to be about me coming before God. It's not about me sharing with my brothers and sisters in Christ. When was the last time you had a brother or sister in Christ come to you and say, how are you using your finances? Are you using it wisely in the way that God would choose you? Oh no, we daren't speak about our finances. How are you using your time? I'm the worst for just binge watching on Netflix. And now we have Disney Plus. It's even worse. I have watched the Star Wars series so much, it's unbelievable. But that's not wise. It's not living a wise life. And actually, by me just declaring it to you, you're all now going to come up to me at the end, aren't you? And in the coming weeks, how much have you been watching Netflix? But actually, it's about that. It's about living life together. It's about allowing people to speak truth into our life. And that's just the silly things. There are a whole bunch of things that we daren't speak about. God forbid that we should speak about sex outside of marriage or pornography. We should speak about road rage. God forbid if we were to speak about adultery or gossiping. I cannot count the amount of times that somebody's come up to me and said, oh, we really must pray for so-and-so. Do you know why? Because of X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, the first bit would have just been fine. You could have come to me and just said, look, I just need you to know, could you just pray for so-and-so? That's it, you know. I'm more than happy to pray for anybody. Thankfully, God knows, so I don't need to know the details, you know. And if that person wants to share it with me, they can come to me and they can share it with me. And I'll get an opportunity to bless them and speak truth into their life. In the same way, I don't expect to be able to go to people and say to them, this is what's going on in my life, and then have four people come up to me the next day and say, oh, I hear this is going on. How awful is that? And yet, actually, as a church, we're more worried about who we're kissing than actually what secrets we're telling. It's about this mutual accountability and submission. I am no more higher in the spiritual realms than you are. You can come and challenge me. And just because I'm speaking this morning doesn't mean you have to agree with everything I say. Come and challenge me at the end. We'll have a great conversation, mutually holding each other accountable for what God is sharing. So that's the outside. So I've spent a long time speaking about that, haven't I? So we've got the outside, speaking and uttering to each other in songs and hymns, and then submitting to one another. But the key point is the bit in the middle. And these are the two points in the middle. It says, singing and making music to the Lord in your heart, and then giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those are the two points. So you've got the two outside and then the two inside points. And these two link together as well. And it is this point about making music. Singing is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's wonderful to come to church. It's wonderful to just stand in the kitchen and have some worship music playing, or walking along the street having your headphones in, or driving along the car, booming it as loud as you can, hoping that you bless those on the road as they listen at the traffic lights to whatever worship music you've got going on. But actually the key thing here is, Paul's talking about in your heart. Worship does not start from your vocal cords. It starts from your heart. I was reading earlier on Isaiah 1, and I would challenge you all to go and read it a bit later on. And it's this great thing. God instituted this great thing about sacrifices. Every single little detail, all these little bits and pieces, the intrinsic detail of how the Israelites were to do sacrificial systems. This is what you have to do for this bit, and this is how many times you have to do it, and this is when you have to do it. And it was so detailed. So all the minutiae was sorted out. And then in Isaiah, people were doing this. But in Isaiah, God says to the people, what do I want your sacrifices for? I'm sick and tired of the blood of bulls and goats and lambs. I don't want it. Instead, I want you to repent. I want you to be cleansed. I want you to live out a life of justice, to stand up for the oppressed. This wonderful thing that God instituted, God wasn't saying that the thing in itself was wrong. He was saying that the people's heart wasn't right. They were doing all the actions. They were coming to church, But they weren't here with their heart. It was out of duty. I came to church this morning to preach at the 9:30 service. Tobias had been up in the night coughing at 2 o'clock in the morning. He was up for about 2 hours. And when my alarm went off at 7 o'clock, the first thought on my mind was not, thank you, God, for this glorious day. I'm so excited to go and worship with my brothers and sisters at church. I can tell you that was not my first thought. I can't tell you what my first thought was. It's not appropriate. But actually, God has changed. Because I knew I was preaching on this today, and I'm not very good at Thanksgiving. I can tell you that I'm a pessimist. Everything's the worst thing it could ever be. And so this has been really a challenge for me as much as anybody else. But actually, because I knew I was preaching on this, I had to sit and I had to allow God to really change my heart and to say, okay, that was my first thought. I'm sorry, Lord, but that was my first thought. But actually, I am going to change that. I am going to come with a heart of thanksgiving. I am going to come. And I had a wonderful time with the 9:30 service, sharing together. So we've got there, making music, making joy. It just bubbles up from the heart. And then secondly, giving thanks always for everything. That word giving thanks is the word in Greek is Eucharisto. And it's where we get our word Eucharist from, thanksgiving. So whenever we come to the table to get our communion, it's about thanksgiving. It's about saying, thank you, God, that you went to the cross on my behalf. You paid the price. You paid the debt so that I can have a new life. And this is the new life that Paul is talking about. It just bubbles up naturally. But he goes on to say, he doesn't just say, and give thanksgiving to God. Oh, no, Paul has to be all the more detailed so that he trips us all up and messes us all up. And he says, giving thanks always for everything. Literally, give thanks continuously. Never stop. Always in everything. For everything. The good, the bad, the indifferent. Give thanks for it all. Now, I don't think Paul is expecting us to stand here and say, oh, thank you, God, for this beautiful day. Thank you, God, for every single breath in my lungs. Thank you, God, for the instruments that we have. Thank you, God, for the conversations. Thank you, God, that I have the ability to walk. Thank you, God, for the park. It would just be never-ending if I was to stand here. And I'd be no use to anybody. There are times when we need to stop and verbalize those things of thanks. But actually, to live a life of continual thankfulness is not about a verbalization, although that is part of it. Being thankful always for everything. Wow, isn't that a challenge? I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's bad. I don't know if you've had a promotion at work or if you've just had a new addition to the family. I don't know if you've just had a new house move or you've just bought that amazing new car that you always wanted. Or whether actually your family has sickness in it. Whether you've just lost a loved one. Whether you yourself are going through a crisis of health or whether financially crisis has really hit home. I don't know if you're impacted by the war in Ukraine, if you know anybody personally impacted by that. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that I have any answers, unfortunately. I'd love to be able to stand here and say, here are the four steps to always live in life with thankfulness. The only thing I can say is that sometimes it's about catching yourself and having that intention to think differently. And I don't do it. I'm the worst for doing it, and I really need to do it more. But sometimes, maybe, we need this body of believers to come alongside us, to declare psalms of praise, hymns and songs, and utter declarations over us. And maybe we need this body of believers to hold us accountable to what God is doing in our life, reminding us of all the things that God has already done in our lives. How quick do we forget the wonderful things and all those things that we thank God for? We say, thank you, God, that you gave me this. And then 10 minutes later, everything's the worst it's ever been. And we totally forget what God had done, because we're lost in the middle of that storm. But I just don't think I can declare that well enough. And as I was preparing for this message, there was a song that kept on coming to me. I don't know if anybody of you know the band Wren Collective. Now, Wren Collective is a band from Northern Ireland, Christian band, and they've got some wonderful, wonderful songs. And they've just released a new album, and one of the songs is Hallelujah Anyways. I've got a YouTube video of it, and I just want to allow the Spirit to minister in a way that I never could. I want to allow these words that were penned to just speak to each and every single heart here. Open up your heart to Christ and just say, okay, Christ, just speak to me. In the good and the bad, let me know what you want from me today. How you want to raise thanksgiving up within me. And it would be great if God is speaking to you, you wanted to start this journey of accountability. Yes, you could come, and I'm sure Jean or Mary or any of the kind of big wigs in the church would love to pray with you. And they would love to speak truth, and they'd love to speak spiritual wisdom into your life. But actually, I don't know each of you, but you know different people, and that's part of the blessing. And it might be not coming to somebody who you would naturally come to. It might be going to somebody that you know has great spiritual wisdom in an area. And allowing them to speak truth into your life. And so as the song just plays, just allow the Spirit to move. And if you want to move around and you want to go and speak to somebody, if you want to go and pray with somebody, if you want to go and sing with somebody and declare truth to them, please do. Please be free to allow the Spirit to move in the way that He chooses. And allow thankfulness to really be raised up. Thank you.